on, and welcome back. I'm Brad Rieger. I have the privilege of being a host of A Basic Conversation, and sitting across from me is a renowned theologian, Father James Basic. And Father Basic, why don't we make sure we're on the same page, okay? Well, first of all, we're going to welcome Michael. Michael's our new audio guy that's going to make sure that we stay in line and we stay on task.
Yes, and we're very glad that he's here to help us and guide us, yeah.
I don't think we say anything to offend Chris, but he's just doing other things.
And yes.
So Michael is now...
Michael's our man.
...taking over. So thanks for being here, Michael. Father Basic, this is the sixth season that we've been doing this Basic Conversation. Last season, we focused pretty much on Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Season six here, we're looking to examine, comment on, discuss Pope Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not exclusively the entire season, but we're going to start out talking about Pope Leo.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. And I know that he chose Pope Leo as a name.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that?
Well, no, let's just get a little more background. First of all, he's the first American pope, right? And he gets a lot of publicity for that reason. He grew up in Chicago, South Side. That means he's not a Cubs fan, but he's a White Sox fan.
Yes, sure, yes.
White Sox fan, yeah. Sure. Likes to play tennis. Very smart man.
Has a couple brothers.
He does. Yes, he does. So he's gotten a lot of publicity just for that fact, and we should keep that in mind. I want to talk about him in terms of the name he chose. So whenever a pope is named, it's a big thing. He comes out on a balcony and says, "I've chosen the name." Like the last one, remember, he chose Francis. That was... the Pope Francis chose the name Francis of Assisi, and it's a very significant thing. And people went, well, what do we read into this? What does it mean that he chose Leo? And there was before him, there were 13 other Leos. One was Leo the Great back in the early years, and the latest one is Pope Leo the 13th. And so what are we going to get out of that situation, why he chose the name? So I want to understand Leo the 14th by in terms of the name he chose. And so that means we got to know something about Leo the 13th, right? And it also means we have to get him into some historical context, otherwise we won't understand him. So I got to do a lot of historical background, and we need it to eventually understand Pope Leo the 14th. So the French Revolution in the 1790s was extremely anti-religious. One of the sayings among the revolutionaries was, smash the infamous thing. The infamous thing was the church. There was a lot of persecution of clergy. They, at one point in the great cathedral of Notre Dame, who we learned a lot more about because they had a fire not long ago in that great church, and they remodeled it and so on, they erected a statue of reason in that church as a great symbol that we don't need this religion stuff, it's all a bunch of baloney. Smash the infamous thing and raise up reason. So that meant put the church, what's the church going to do about that? One of the things the church did under Pope Pius IX was he published what we call the Syllabus of Errors in the 1860s, in which he condemned everything modern you can think of, at least by implication, including democracy. And so the result of that in the popular mind, the secular world, it was that the church was no longer relevant. All the church did was condemn stuff, including freedom of speech, democracy, all the modern stuff. So it was a syllabus of errors, it was called. So that brings us now to Pope Leo the 13th. Because his role in world history was to reverse that. and he to become a player, become a voice, someone who is going to enunciate moral ideals in the public arena, in the larger world, in the larger forum. And that's what he was enabled to do, Pope Leo XIII. But there's more background, Brad. Are you okay with this?
With you. Yes, I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah, you're okay. The other background point that we need to understand was there was actually an American connection. So here's the story. So Pope Leo XIII gets a letter from a Canadian bishop saying that the labor union movement in the United States was bad. It was like communistic and so on. And so Pope Leo XIII got that message, and he was ready to issue a proclamation against the American labor movement. Now, so much background, but at that time, two bishops, Cardinal Gibbons was going to Rome around 1890, just before that, to get the red hat. That's, people have learned what that means, you're going to become a cardinal. Go get the red hat. So Cardinal Gibbons of Baltimore is going to Rome to get a red hat. And he teams up with a Cardinal Ireland, John Ireland of St. Paul, and they write a note to Pope Leo XIII and say, if you condemn the labor union movement, you're going to lose the Catholic population for decades. In other words, Catholics were big in the labor union movement. Thomas Powderly was one of the Knights of Labor. And that's how a lot of Catholics in the United States encountering the nativist prejudice. There was a know-nothing political movement. Well, most people knew that when John Kennedy was trying to run for president. Right. And they were saying, no Catholic can be a president of the United States. He'll have allegiance to the Pope and not. And, of course, Kennedy overcame that problem with the famous talk to ministers in Houston. So they take this letter to Leo XIII and say, if you do that, the church in the United States, Catholics think of the church as their friend. Church is the friend of the working man. Church is the friend of the poor Catholics. The church is the friend of the Catholics who are under persecution for their faith right in the United States. And so they get to Leo and they convince him not to do that. American connection again, present Pope. And so instead he writes an encyclical called Rerum Novarum. Encyclicals are by Latin titles. I don't know anybody remembers that, but Rerum Novarum, of new things, that means. And in it, he lauded the labor union movement. Now, Pope Leo XIII was against socialism, big time. He wanted a free enterprise. He wanted private property, big thing for private property. Socialism is bad. It's going to ruin everything. So he's not a socialist. He's not a communist or anything. He's in favor of the dignity of human beings. So he says the labor unions are a good thing. Mm-hmm. And thus he saved the Catholic population in the United States. So that Leo goes up in Chicago, he goes up with his parents are making it moving forward because the church, his father was a principal of a high school, and his mother was a librarian.
And this is Leo XIV.
To Leo. Yeah. Good. Keep us on track.
Two Leos. We got to keep track.
We got too many Leos, yeah. So, but our Leo XIV benefited from what Leo XIII did. So he chooses his name. And what it is like he comes out on that balcony and says, I've chosen the name Leo. It's like saying, I want to be a player. I'm going to have a public voice. I'm not going to be afraid, he said. He said that. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to speak out. So that's what he's done, living out his heritage from Leo XIII. He's championed Catholic social teaching, that we got to respect the rights of people, and that personal liberty is important, and so on. We have to enter into dialogue with other people. We have to find common solutions to problems. So where's that? So we were talking about Leo XIV, Catholic and American, and he's got a public voice now. So he's living out his faithful heritage from Leo XIII. He's a player.
And he's a player in the area of the social justice area?
Rerum Novarum is considered the first of the great Catholic social teachings. So we have a whole thing called Catholic social teaching. In fact, I just wrote a book about that, Catholic social teaching. And so there's major principles in Catholic social teaching is the dignity and worth of every human being, the importance of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and so on. So that's what we're getting from Pope Leo. So if you read the papers or just see, what's he doing? He speaks out against war, right? A lot of that since he started, no wars. Going to be a peacemaker. Jesus Christ called us to be peacemakers. Jesus Christ said, put away the sword, don't have wars. So that message is getting through. And I think what people like about it, that like Leo XIV, is that it's consistent. So he's speaking out against wars in Africa now. As he travels around the world, he's always the thing, we need peace. We need people to work for peace. And I think, therefore, he's carrying out an important mission. And the church, again, is seen as a player. So people, there's secular commentators on television mentioning Pope Leo. And saying, well, what Leo's in Africa, but he was speaking out and said that making war is immoral. And we should build bridges, not walls. Good stuff, I think. And the question is how's that going to carry on? And how powerful is his voice and so on. But what's important, I think, to remember about that is he's not a politician. So it's been a lot of stuff created, like he's against President Trump, and Trump, and they're back and forth at each other and saying bad things. And they're just in different lanes, as we like to say. They're in different lanes. The President of the United States is in the political lane, and his job is to lead the nation and guard the nation and try to create civil harmony or trying to make America great again, or however he wants to phrase it. So to say that there's a big fight between those two doesn't get you any place. Yeah. What we want to do is try to find out, well, what's Leo's consistent message, and what is he trying to do? And right now, I think if you ask people, he's about peace. He wants peace in the Middle East. He wants peace with Russia against Ukraine. And of course, when he does that, there's always blowback. There's some people who won't go along with it or think that he's out of his lane. But I personally, now you contrast, I shouldn't do this because I got an idea for a next program. So I got
to... This is
I
a foreshadowing? Is this yes, a teaser?
I could foreshadow it and build it up. Yeah, I mean, him following Francis. Mm. There are different types of pope. Francis was what I call a prophetic pope. That is, he would say striking things to get people's attention, and on the gay rights thing. Well, who am I to judge, he says. Sometimes he would say that on airplanes, you know, or off the cuff remarks. So he was what I would call a prophetic pope. His lines are striking. His teaching is designed to get attention to people and so on. So, but I see Leo very different. He's a cautious man, I think, by nature. He speaks carefully. He has his speeches written out, not so much being quoted on an airplane by a correspondent who's trying to get a story. You know, I mean, he avoids that, and he has, you see him on television talking. He's reading from a script, and it's always very measured, very carefully phrased, and tries to, you know, stay in his lane for sure. You know.
Yeah. But it's
how much time do we have, Greg?
We got plenty. We're doing just fine.
Have we done 20 minutes yet?
No,
wow.
We are doing just fine. The connection with Pope Francis and his sticking to the gospel and focus on being kind and being inclusive of immigrants and people from all walks.
Yeah.
That's another area that people are noticing, right?
Yeah. Well, that gets another program, Brad. In my own mind, I have different we got 10 programs on Leo. But he himself was an immigrant. So he moved from Chicago to Peru, where he served, and there served the poor, served the immigrant community, and so on. And he has a feeling for that, and has spoken out a lot on that. That's one of his favorite topics, the treatment of immigrants. And he's been critical of U.S. policy that way. You know, he said that the U.S. is not doing a good job on dealing with immigrants. So there's a lot of times he has a message, sometimes it seems favorable to what the United States has done or our high ideals, which is in his own blood. I mean, it's just different having an American pope who understands what's going on. When Pope Francis would talk about matters, the common thing in the United States was that, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That was the economists in the United States and some Catholic theologians. He thinks of crony capitalism in his native land, in Argentina, and that was a corrupt system, and that's how he knows it. He doesn't know the United States, so he walks around talking about, well, we can't have unbridled capitalism. Mm-hmm. And Francis,
right.
Prophetic. Right. And the response of many people in the United States, well, where in the world is there unbridled capitalism? You don't have the United States, you have restraints, and we have a Congress, and we have a judicial system, and so on. And so, so I'm contrasting now, when Francis is talking, when Pope Leo XIV is talking, it's more measured. And it's hard for people to say, well, he doesn't know America. Well, he does. Right. And he grew up on the south side of Chicago, which is a very distinctive thing. He went to the Catholic Theological Union. I happen to have taught there for a period of time after I was retired from Corpus Christi Church in Toledo. So I taught there. It's a great school. I mean, it's marvelous, great scholars and so on. And so Francis, Leo XIV knows that world. He's savvy in that sense. Hard to live on the south side of Chicago and not be savvy somehow of what's going on or realizing the world and so on.
Do you want to... One of the other examples, we're talking about our policy on immigration, he and J.D. Vance had a different view of that, with J.D. Yeah. Vance summarizing that there's something in Catholic theology about you take care of your family first and then loved ones, and then yeah. Pope Leo kind of countered that with saying...
I think it was Pope Francis, you really want to say, who countered that explicitly, okay. Yeah. But I think you could get the same notice out of Leo. Well, that's interesting that Vance is the best-known Catholic.
Yeah, convert, yeah.
Convert to Catholicism, and often speaks about Catholic thought. And he actually knows a lot about it. I mean, people who don't like Vance dismiss him, but he's a really smart guy, and he did what he was bringing up about Catholic theology. He actually was right about it, and that was some of the teaching. So what his point was that in Catholic teaching, you first take care of yourself, and then because you've taken care of yourself and built up your own spirit and intellectual life and develop virtues and so on, that now you can speak publicly. And when your care should start with your family, your wife, your kids, before you're talking about stopping a war in Ukraine. So Vance is an interesting figure that way. There's all kind of ways of criticizing him from his Catholic viewpoint. What Pope Francis didn't like about Vance was he used Catholic theology to justify Trump's policies. And Francis just blew that off. I mean, he said, you can't do that. You can't use Catholic moral theology to uphold the president's views. It isn't meant for that. It isn't, he said Vance should meditate more on the Good Samaritan parable and what that means, and how the Good Samaritan is the model for dealing with social justice questions and so on. So we don't want to get away from that what Pope Leo XIII, the founder of modern Catholic social teaching, which is all the way from 1891 up to now, and reinforced especially by Francis' talk on ecology. Francis is so big and we can't have to save our planet, and we're in danger of doing it. He supported the Paris Agreement. And so that was a big part of what he added. But there's a whole body of teaching, like all the subsequent popes have added to it. Like Pope John Paul II had a great stuff on work and how work is important. It's through work that we find our dignity, and earning a paycheck makes us feel good, and it gives us... And it also contributes, our work contributes to the world to make it a better place. So we think of scientists who make discoveries or businessmen who make investments and earn money and do philanthropic work, like Bill Gates, you say, or his wife, more his wife, Bill Gates' wife, Melinda. And so that is actually a very... positive thing that goes on. So Catholic social teaching, yeah, I wrote a book about
yes,
it called Catholic Social Teaching. I can't think of the subtitle right now. It's something like, Revealing Our Secret, Revealing the Secret. That's because there was a book that came out that said Catholic Social Teaching by a Catholic saying our best kept secret. So our listening audience, who has Catholic people listening to this, for many of them, they don't know Catholic social teaching. They didn't learn it in grade school or high school or in college even. And so what a lot of us have been trying to do is increase our knowledge of Catholic social teaching. And you know, that's why I wrote that book. But we're going to see that in Leo all the way down. You can count on him coming up with principles from Catholic social teaching and applying them to the world today, and especially this idea that every human being has to be given respect. And that was his thing about, well, what didn't he like about immigration was we weren't respecting the immigrants. No, we weren't seeing their dignity and worth. We weren't seeing how they make contributions to the culture, and sometimes economically. I mean, a lot of arguments about, well, without the immigrants, our economy would be in worse shape. Of course, there you get into practical politics, and it gets a little dicey in terms of what you can say or can't say. But Pope Leo, so what the name tells me, he's Leo the 14th, tells me he's going to try to use Catholic social teaching and those principles developed over the centuries and by John Paul II and Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, developing a doctrine. And Leo will make his own contributions to it, I think.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. Thanks for the kind of the lead-in and the context.
A lot of context. Can you take context?
That was huge.
But it is important. Yes, now, what's the role of the Catholic Church? It's like when John Kennedy was running for president, they said, well, Catholics can't be president. You can't have Catholic presidents. They won't help the country. They won't serve the country. And John Kennedy went to Houston and gave a talk to the Houston Ministerial Association. He was running for president in 1960. And said pretty much, well, my faith won't have anything to do with it. A lot of us think he went overboard. I mean, if you're a Presbyterian and you got faith, and you're faced with questions of what to do in the public arena, well, your faith's going to influence you. Faith should inform one's outlook. And if you're Jewish, Muslim, faith is going to influence the way you see the problem. And I think that was the problem with Vance, that Pope Francis thought he inverted the order. He said, I'm going to find a way in Catholic social teaching to show that Trump is right. And so he said he inverted the order, a proper order of things. Are we still got time, or what have we done?
I think we're pretty close on this one. So how about we save a couple of the weightier things like just war theory and some of that. We'll save that
for
the next time.
Yeah, right.
But you set the table really well for Pope Leo the 14th. And Father Basic, thanks for giving us such a historical ramp up through Leo the 13th.
You were a good listener today.
That's part of my job. Thank you, Father Basic.
Yeah.